Hello, everyone. This is our first Front and Planning Guru podcast, a true one of a kind in the educational realm. We're here today to discuss matters important to the construction industry, particularly as they relate to early project planning of capital projects, which is also known as front end planning. I'm Liam Spelzadeh at Arizona State University, and joining me today is Dr. Ed Gibson, a true front end planning guru in the construction industry. Dr. Gibson, welcome. Why don't we start with you sharing your past work and experience in this field?
Yeah, thanks, Liam. Pleasure to be here. I just wanted to talk a little bit about my background and why I can discuss front-end planning with a little bit of authority here. I know if you saw a picture of me, you wouldn't know it, but I've actually been a practicing engineer for 40 years. First in industry for about 10 years, and then the last 30 years or so, I've been a university professor. Also, during the last 30 years or so, I've actually been involved in doing research projects from a number of sponsors looking at the front-end planning process for major capital projects. And during that time, we've published quite a few documents about front-end planning. I've had a chance also to be a consultant with about 70 organizations, helping them implement front-end planning in their capital projects. And, you know, combined with that, I've probably seen just about everything that you can see around the front-end planning process. And so, you know, some of the things that we're going to talk about today, I think you can kind of take it to the bank.
So, Dr. Gibson, that's all lovely. With all this experience in both academia and industry, what is your top advice to someone having to perform front-end planning?
Yeah, well, first of all, I guess we need to talk about what front-end planning is. And really, front-end planning is that part of the process or life cycle of a capital project that starts with initiation or idea generation for a project and goes through until we really turn it over to a design group to do what's called detailed design and then construction afterwards. So it's all those things that take the project from idea generation to actually being put on paper and drawings. And so it's a pretty complicated process, and we've taken a look at not only the industrial types of projects, but also projects in infrastructure and buildings and so on and so forth, looked at a number of sectors and really looked and focused on what it takes to make that process a success. It's pretty complicated. Yeah. And if you take a look at it, you know, it's hard to put it all into one little time frame, but I'll give you a few things that we've seen over the years that really can make a project much more successful during that front-end planning process. I think, first of all, if the organization has a process, and many times it's called a phase-gated process, some people call it a waterfall process, and so on and so forth, but basically the process starts with a lot of unknowns and tries to determine as much as it can until you get into that design phase. And generally, it goes through three major sub-processes. There's a feasibility phase. There is a phase that we call concept, where we try to generate the key decisions for the project. And then there's detail scoping, and I'll talk about that briefly in just a moment, where we actually nail down many of the key ideas, and that helps us understand what the budget and schedule is for the project. What I would say is maybe a few high-level ideas of what needs to take place. During front-end planning process, you have to scope the project out effectively. And that really deals with what I would call three major areas of scoping. One of those really deals with making sure that we're actually understand the site that we're going to be building on. That includes not only the geotechnical requirements and what's on the site already, but also many of the requirements in terms of the code requirements and local regulatory requirements and so on. The second thing really is understanding really what our capacity or flow is for the project. You know, how many people, how many functions, how many cars, how many trains, you know, what kind of, how many molecules are going down the line and so on and so forth, or electrons. So we understand the flows of the project that lays out what our equipment requirements and size and all those kind of things are. The third part is really making sure that we know how we're going to effectively complete the project once we get into the design and construction phase. And that really, we call that execution approach. What kind of contracting strategy, who's going to do what, when, as we move forward. If you put all those things together, then you really have a pretty good understanding of the scope of the project, and you can price it effectively, and you know how long it's going to take. One other thing I'll throw in there is that the front-end planning process is really a people-based process, and it requires a lot of idea generation. It requires a lot of iteration. You have to get the correct stakeholders involved in the process. And once you get that together and you work this process, as I said, through these three phases, making sure that we're checking ourselves as we go through, then once you get to the end, you have a pretty good understanding of what you're getting yourself into with the capital project. So that's in a nutshell the entire process.
Yeah, well, it sounds like a very simple, but yet not so easy task that I feel like a lot of people are forgetting about. I wonder what will happen if we do not pay attention to the front-end planning process. Do you have an example of when something that could have easily been planned for went wrong?
Yeah, it's really interesting. As I said, I've been looking at this for 30 years, and we see the same problems occur over and over again. And so I'll go back to one of the early projects we looked at, probably back in the late 1990s, in the building side of things. And it was a public project, a facility that was supposed to be, that was in existence. It was a 40-year-old building or so at the time. And the building was going to be renovated, and they were going to add a wing to the building. And it turns out that the building actually had a history, and the history was in weapons research and development, and it was going to be used for a new program that, for space exploration. And so here's how it turned out. The project had a budget of about $25 to $30 million. It was supposed to take about 18 months. The plans had been made. The contractor gets out on the site and starts demolition of the existing building internally so that they can reconfigure it. And they ran into radioactive waste, and they ran into asbestos, and they ran into lead-based paint and all kinds of nasty materials that had been used in research in the past. And they had to stop, and they had to figure out what to do. And the whole project stopped. They had to hire another consultant to come in and characterize the existing contamination in the building. And this is, of course, after the project has already been approved and had a budget and had a contractor on site. And the result at the end of the day was that the project ended up costing about 50% more and was delayed about a year to a year and a half past its original completion deadline. The problem was that by that time, the program that needed this project had already gone out and rented and leased another space because they didn't need the facility at that point. They needed it before that it was going to be provided. So it had no tenant even when the facility was finished. So $27, $28 million project that ended up close to $40 million a year and a half behind schedule. Simply, I went and talked to one of the project engineers and said, why didn't you go in and do an environmental characterization of this building? You knew it had a history. And this young engineer told me, well, we didn't have enough budget to do that. And so I said, well, obviously it cost you a lot of money, and delays, and the project didn't meet its requirements. It probably would have made sense to spend a few tens of thousands of dollars to do a characterization. And this young engineer said, well, looking back, probably it would have. And so we see that happening over and over again. I've got dozens and dozens of stories like that, but they didn't follow a process. They didn't understand the site. They didn't really understand, even after they found the mess, they didn't understand how they were going to execute. And at the end of the day, it was a disastrous project for the organization.
I see that. Thank you, Dr. Gibson, for giving us your time today. We'll be with you in the future to discuss in more details other parts of the front-end planning process and addressing the questions that anyone can have as a result of this one episode. And with that, episode. If you're listening to this podcast, please don't hesitate to contact us with your questions or suggestions. Have a great rest of your day, and we see you soon.